Aaron, good to see you.
We missed you earlier. Welcome, everyone, to our December 13th City Council meeting, and it is the last meeting of the year. We do not meet then the year unless there's, I really have nothing why we'd be meeting, so it'll be our last meeting of the year, which I'm sure none of you are upset about, but being that it is, we have a long agenda with executive session. Just I want you to finish out the year real strong here. Anyway, we're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then you're going to do roll call, right?
Okay.
Megan will start off.
All right. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Megan's here because Kathy had a commitment. She might be able to zoom in later. She might not. So Megan said she'd sit up here and
try to look as important as Kathy.
And be real quiet.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Clocher.
Here.
Soling is absent. Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you all very much. I have no amendment to the agenda. Uh-oh. Somebody told me I did something wrong. Funkhauser, did you tell me I did something wrong or not?
Not yet.
Oh, I got a message. I wasn't sure if it was from you. There. Soling's texting me. How was the meeting today? I should text him. You could zoom in. He's probably an hour off.
Yes.
Somebody text him to zoom in. Okay. Anyway, so I have no amendments to the agenda. We have some presentations. Come on, everyone text him at once. All of us should text him at once. Wouldn't it be fun about like five of us? Come on, we can have fun. It's democracy. So anyway, we have a couple presentations. And Tim, I want you up here for these because you're really the one who does all this. We have the first one, we have the Flags of Valor presentation to the American Legion. And what did we raise, $2,500?
That's after all the expenses, but yes, all the proceeds go to the American Legion, and so it was $2,500.
Yeah, do you have the check, or is there, well, come on, you, Tim, you can present it. You do the work, I don't. I wear red today for Christmas.
Christmas red.
You got a green on?
Yep.
Still wearing that bear shirt?
Yeah, I'm trying.
How are you looking for more?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming out.
Do we want to go over that?
We can do it so we can get Matt in
here. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So you get to present it here. So it was $2,500 for the Flags of Valor, which was for, that was for Veterans Day, right?
Yes. Yeah, so that was our sponsor, the flag. We put it up to
how many flags were there?
There was about 100 this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so their proceeds go to the American Legion. It's a great company to work with the Legion, it's a great partnership, and honor those that serve and protect our regions.
Well, they've been fantastic. We do a lot of things together. Well, Tim actually does. I really show up. But we appreciate everything you do for the community. We appreciate your service. And thank you very much. And here's your check.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You want to say anything at all or not?
Well, again, with the American Legion, stuff like this that the city comes out and benefits and helps the American Legion with, we don't keep this money. We actually turn it back over to the community. And like this check here will help fund our scholarship programs for the seniors in high school this year. We actually put that money directly back out into the community. We are a community, family, organization first. This is what we're here to do. Children and Youth Services is one of our pillars in the American Legion. And so like this money here will go and help fund our scholarship program. So if you have kids that are in high school looking to go to college, this is where part of that money will go to this year. So thank you very much for all of your support. We appreciate everything that the city does for us. In turn, we just want to give back to the community. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Now we have the Knights of Columbus, right? I'm told there's a meeting tomorrow, is that correct? So Bob Lund, he was, oh my arm, well,
go back.
Yeah, no, he's not. And, you know, it's amazing how he gets as long as his wife has been walking around going on. But anyway, so this is what, $500 check?
It's a $500 check. We worked with them on the reindeer run. That was actually held at the American Legion this year as part of the city's holiday celebration. And a bunch of the Knights came out to help make sure the runners went in the right direction and help get the word out to the runners.
I made it through.
Yes.
I walked most of it, but thanks to your help. So thank you both. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. They all do a great job for us, not just for this event, but throughout the year. They help us with all kinds of events. And here's what I like. We've got a great church organization, and we got a great Legion, and they work together for the community. I think it's fantastic. And I'm proud that they're both part of the community. All they're here tonight because they help us out tremendously.
You can plug the American Legion Knights of Columbus fish fry for this year now.
Yeah. Oh, tell us about it. Come back up here, Tony. You like to talk.
So speaking of partnerships, the American Legion and the Knights of Columbus are going to be working together this year to bring back the fish fries that they used to have at St. Pat's Parish, along with the American Legion. We did not do those last year. So a lot of people asked about it. We came together as a community, and we're gonna work together to bring back the fish fries that meant a lot to the community. So we hope that from Ash Wednesday, the Friday after Ash Wednesday, on through
Good Friday,
you guys come out and support us. It will be at the American Legion. We will be working together. And again, this is something that raises funds for the American Legion and along with the Knights, so that way we can do our good in the community. So please come out and support us during that time. Thank you.
So to add to that, he said he had six friars. I didn't believe him. Yeah, he really does have six friars. So he said he had friars but didn't have volunteers. We had volunteers but not friars. Hey, I think we can work something out here, you know?
So, yeah, absolutely. So
it worked out really well.
We've done well working with the community together, and we just want to continue doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Okay. I have it on my plan, so I hope I'll be there. Well, we go from handing out money to looking to spend money. So so the next thing we have is our public works building concept plan. And I know this is something we've been waiting for. And who's doing the presentation? Chris, are you doing it?
Bart and I are both doing it together.
Okay. So they're going to give a summary. But again, if you recall, we spoke of this probably about a year-ish ago, late last year, I think. And we saw a presentation. The council said, hey, take a look at it again. So we went back and we looked at it with staff and Chris's firm. And they've got a great plan here. But we want to get your input. So, Chris, I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. Aaron, if you could advance forward about 5 slides.
Can we see, or do we need to flip a bank of lights off?
I would say it's pretty bad. It's pretty cleaned up things up. Yeah, we will help you.
Don't get scared.
There we go. So what we wanted to do first tonight, and thanks for having us again. For those that don't remember, my name is Chris Hansen with Kluberg Architects and Engineers. We presented an initial design study back in November last year. And at that time, the project, which is shown up on the screen that we presented to you, was a facility for Parks Rec that totaled 107,570 square feet and had a total project budget at the time of $31 to $33.8 million. And when I talk in the terms construction versus total project cost, just to refresh everyone's memory, total project costs include everything needed for the building, including architectural engineering, civil engineering, furniture systems for the building and whatnot. So that's what would be considered total project cost. Construction costs are your raw construction costs needed to actually physically build the building. So those are the two types of terms that I'll be using tonight as we go forward. At the time when we presented that, there was a request that we take a look at that plan, and you'll see a big red X. At the initial study phase, we had contemplated including Kendall Area Transportation or Transit as part of the project. That has since come off of the table. So in the new study that you'll see as we go forward, and Aaron, if we could advance to the next scheme. One more slide. I want to first thank, before we go into all of these studies, the full administrative team, everyone from Parks, Rec. Everyone's been fantastic in working with us to come up with a revised scheme to really hone in on what is needed to accommodate a 20-year growth plan. And what we're presenting tonight, through the combined efforts of the team, is a total facility, and we're calling this the Public Works and Parks Combined Design Plan. This particular concept is 87,524 square feet in size. So it was quite a reduction from the original study. One of the things that we had mentioned to you about a year ago was when we did the initial study, we thought that we were using some factors for things such as square footage, circulation percentages. We didn't really have a good opportunity to lay out the plan in great detail. Well, for the last 12 months, we have been working together with everyone here at the city to really refine that plan to make sure that the components that we're asked for will accommodate a 20-year plan, but can we do it with slightly less square footage? And the answer that we came up with was yes. This revised plan, this total highlights, and that's a cost savings of between $2.4 and $3.2 million with no loss of square footage from the original design. Again, that was just going through very creative design and coming up with design plans that were simpler to construct, also aided in that cost revision. You also note, if you take a look at the bottom right-hand side of the site plan where the green space is, we also removed some of the asphalt pavement area that was originally set aside for CAT that we simply don't need at this time for the facility. So we left that as green space that would accommodate future expansion, also in an effort to reduce the overall square footage of the building. I will point out, too, that we actually shifted the building to the east, approximately 50 feet. Primary reason for that, we did some due diligence studies as well during the last year. We actually had some soil borings done, I believe, during or while you were acquiring the property, just to make sure we didn't have anything unusual on the site. The only unusual soils that we noted were at the far northwest corner of the site, which is not terribly uncommon because that's most of the drainage way going over to the detention basin. It's part of the planned unit development directly to the northwest corner of your property. By moving the building slightly, we are now all in simple buildable soils with conventional foundations. Thus, we were able to fine tune some of the dollar amounts in terms of constructability because those unknowns were now known. Aaron, if you could go to the next slide, please. So what I wanted to point out here is, you know, how did we come up with a plan? And let me just start first with the vehicle garage space in green. The design is a pull-through design, and in this scheme, you can see at the top middle portion of the plan, the rectangular shape is set aside for the public works operation.
Aaron, can you mute that?
And off to the left-hand side, a more larger square-type shape is set aside for the park's operation. You'll see that that particular shape for the parks, when we look at the blended scheme when we go forward, will reduce slightly in size. The primary components of the building that are in pink are the administrative core. Blue is the shared type spaces for the facility, locker rooms, meeting spaces, and whatnot. The areas in orange are vehicle maintenance or fleet maintenance areas, and those areas that are in yellow are the storage spaces for each of the main departments, such as parks, water, sewer, and whatnot divisions. The area over the yellow area has also been designed for a second floor mezzanine for additional storage space with communicating stairs and other bank. Then off to the very top of the slide, that is a pull-through manual, not automatic, wash bay that's requested by both parks and Public Works to maintain and clean their vehicles. Now, if you go forward to the next slide, you'll see kind of a blow-up of the floor plan. So the administrative core, which the main entrance is on the right-hand side of the plan, you'll see there's a small conference room at the front entranceway doorway, and we have some open cubicles for the Public Works staff. And then the area bounded in the red box are the administrative needs for parks. So you can see it's an open office environment with a few conference rooms for meeting areas, and then some shared offices to the top right for foreman, and then also some private offices in that portion of the plant. Moving immediately to the left of that, you'll see the combined break room for the entire staff, and then the training room to the left of that. I will point out that in the original design, we had contemplated a training or public meeting room for approximately 100 people. When we got through and analyzed the design of this revised scheme, we felt it was unnecessary to have a room of that size. So this current room is set up for 24, I believe, seated, but it can hold up to, I believe, 40 at chairs, similar to what you have in the audience area. Immediately to the left of the training room are the locker room facilities. It is a joint-use locker room for both male and female, and the changing areas would occur in the private changing toilet shower rooms off to the left-hand side of the plan. Immediately to the left of the toilet rooms are the laundry rooms for the building, and to the south of that are the Public Works primary field offices for the building. And the kind of the center core, we also have some file rooms and some work copy areas as well as some toilet facilities for the public. We go to the next slide. This area is the area in red where we have the mezzanine over the shop area. We do have an elevator included in the design to allow materials to be lifted to the second floor mezzanine. And we also have service staircases on both sides. That mezzanine will be open to the large vehicle garage immediately to the top of the plan, which would be west and orientation on the site. And then the bottom right-hand portion of the plan are the vehicle service bay areas with one heavy vehicle lift and one two-post above-ground lift is what's currently included, as well as the vehicle lubrication and exhaust removal systems are also included in the budget for full service operation. We also included some things like parts and tire storage rooms, as well as fluid storage rooms for that particular portion of the building. Go to the next slide. Now, we were also asked as part of this, can we come up with a scheme that would be slightly less in terms of square footage and cost than the overall scheme that we just presented? And we've termed this scheme the blended scheme. The blended scheme comprises many ideas and suggestions that we had from the staff, as well as suggestions from internal folks that work at Kluger. And this particular blended scheme, the principal difference is, you'll note that the garage space area is entirely linear. You'll note on the previous plan, the area set aside for parks was more of a square portion of the building that wrapped around the bottom tail end of the building off to the east. Now there's some advantages and disadvantages with this design as it relates to the park's particular plan. The first thing I want to point out is in this blended scheme, because we're again trying to explore an option that was lesser cost, this particular plan only will accommodate about a 5% additional amount of square footage for vehicles. Right now, every vehicle or piece of equipment that you have will fit in this plan. There's very little garage space for expansion. And I'll show you an option for that in a little bit. But one of the disadvantages on the park side was with the square plan that we showed you in the previous slide. Hey, Aaron, can you just go back to? I'll explain it. It'll be a little bit easier to see it on that plan. Keep going. Right there, that's good. You'll see in the park's garage area in green, if you can pull that little section up a little bit, what we actually did was we designed the parking area in the middle with diagonal parking, whereby the parks department could keep their long trailers connected to their trucks that in the summer months have all of their lawnmower equipment preloaded onto the trailer. We had enough space in this particular design to allow them to simply pull in and park and not have to unload or disconnect any of their vehicles. So that is an absolute plus in this plan. In the blended scheme plan, which was very linear, they would either have to remain parked in the aisleway overnight, which is an inconvenience for public works if they need to exit the building, or they would have to disconnect their trailer and reconnect each day. So a little bit of inconvenience with the blended scheme. But nonetheless, our charge was a lesser cost option of the blended scheme that would still get the existing fleet under roof, and that was the design option that we came up with. So Aaron, if we could go back now, 3 or 4 slides. Go forward one. So as you can see in the plan, it was a very linear design to keep this constructability very simple. I think you went all the way back to the beginning. Go to the cost sheets, which are probably slide 10, 11. There we go. And if you zoom in on the right, we'll just keep things real simple. So the revised scheme, the non-blended scheme that includes the 20% growth projection, the cost for construction with a 5% design and a 10% construction contingency as we are presenting today totals $24.3 to $25.9 million. You'll see that in the black box, second one down on the right-hand side in your packet. The total project costs, which again include things like utility connection fees, consultant fees, furniture, and other miscellaneous equipment for the building that are not included as part of the construction costs, moving expenses and whatnot will be included in that total, pushes the total project cost to $28.2 to $30.1 million. That's approximately a $2.4 to $3.2 million savings from where we were about a year ago through the efforts of the team working together to come up with a design plan. Now, if we go one more slide, your blended scheme option, which has some compromise to it, does not have as much expansion. The design the construction cost with the 5% design and 10% construction contingency, as you see there, and the box again on the right, is $20.1 to $21.4 million, with the total project cost totaling $23.3 or $24.8 million on the high end. The reason we are using ranges for your information, just like we said about a year ago, is at this point in time, we're unsure exactly when we're going to be able to construct the project, but that is a decent range. On the lower end, to get you what you need, but looking at the higher end will allow us to account for some of the things that as we proceed through design, we would have the ability with those additional dollars to make very easy decisions as opposed to doing those decisions after the fact during construction. If we go forward one more slide, I wanted to put this together because when we did the blended scheme, my concern was, although we're reducing the initial construction cost, we're designing a building that doesn't allow the United City of Yorkville much room for a future vehicle fleet to be added. There's not as much room to grow. So I thought, well, it would be good for this group to understand that if you went with the blended scheme initially and added the additional garage space for the pull-through design for parks, the blended scheme then is prorated per year of waiting, and that information is a simple escalation at 6%. That might be slightly low for the current economy, but we believe it will come back. I think that's a reasonable price, and at the bottom, you'll see the cost waiting for 10 years, and you'll see what the value of waiting to add that addition to accommodate the future growth would be. It's hard to see here, and I don't remember the numbers. If you could just zoom in at the bottom portion and scroll to the right just a little. You can see that adding that addition, it's roughly about an additional $5.1 to $5.5 million a year after the building is built. And then as you go out 10 years, that small addition area adds an additional $9.2 to $9.9 million. But again, that exercise was simply to allow all of you to understand the value of whether or not we proceed with the larger scheme initially, or look at a blended scheme as a little bit more of a conservative approach initially, then what would that additional cost look like over time if we were to wait to expand the garage spaces of the building? I will say that all of the administrative cores and the major portions of the building have been designed fully up front for a 20-year growth plan. So all of those areas would not need to be modified whatsoever in this plan. We only simply focused on garage space as part of that future expansion area. So that would really be the only consideration that you would need to have for this. I also want to point out, this does include the salt storage building, material storage bins, and a complete underground fueling station on site that will be needed for the operations of the facility. Those last three components I mentioned are in both the initial scheme as well as the blended scheme in those base costs. And with that, I'll turn it over to all of you if you have any questions or if Mark would like to add anything further.
Scott, could you get the lights, please? Thank you.
The only thing that I wanted to add, just framing this up, so it was 30.
Just for the record, yeah. Craig Solling has joined us via Zoom.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Hello, Craig, first of all. Is 32 to 34 million is what we had reviewed a year ago. You asked us to downsize it. We did. We didn't lose much functionality in the building, got it down 3 or 4 million. $4 million despite construction inflation of a year. And then we scaled it down even further for that blended option that you talked about. So in last year's budget proposal, you approved a five-year budget that has a $22 million bond issuance that we had thrown in there just as a placeholder without knowing when or what this building was going to look like. And we are currently going through next year's budget proposal, and obviously we'll try to cover the worst case scenario, but for your direction otherwise. And so that's where we're at. We've talked to bond council. Bond council thinks legally we can afford a $30 million bond issuance if we came to that. Practically, under the budget is a different story, so we can talk through that. But that's kind of it. We're looking for some direction. I mean, the next step here would be to talk about, moving to a design phase with an architect firm. Looking at construction managers, starting to plan out those things. But in order to do that, we need to know, what you're comfortable with, size of the building, growth potential, and everything else. So, and Chris touched on it, between the full option and the blended option, the full option has empty parking spaces, basically, for fleet growth. The blended option, every vehicle that we currently own would be under roof, which is great, but each additional vehicle would be parked outside, which is something we're trying to get away from. So that is the concise version of Chris's presentation, and we need some feedback to go forward.
One thing I failed to mention, and I apologize, is these numbers that you see assume a 2023 construction start, and right now, with material delivery shortages, specifically precast, we are doing Aurora's facility right now. It's about 10 to 12 months lead time for precast. The ideal situation that we're seeing now in the market, it used to be bid everything in January. We're no longer seeing that. We see everything now bidding in July, August, because then we are basically shutting down until the following spring, which allows all the materials to be ordered. Process through shop drawings and available by the time we break ground for spring. So that would be kind of the expectation if this were able to move forward, would be to look at an August letting for bidding with a spring 23, late spring start, likely May. And the construction window on a project this size, given the current economy and some of those delays, would be about 14 to 16 months. Maybe 18 at the longest range.
For construction?
For construction.
Okay.
Yes.
So if we started a year from March, we're looking at the following July to October, somewhere in there?
Yeah, you would be in before the snow season for winter operations.
In 2 years, okay.
Yes.
And just a high level here, just to recap, the bigger option with about 20% expansion, is that what allowed was about 20% expansion for vehicles?
Yes.
That total is $29 to $30 million in $23.
Yeah.
Okay, and the other option?
$22 to $30.1
million. Okay, and the other one was about $24 to $25 million?
$23.3 to $24.8.
Okay, so there's about a $5 to $6 million difference between the two. And bonding, we're figuring, what do we figure, Rob, 75, where are you at? Is Rob here?
We had a family program today.
Oh, okay. So I think it's about 75,000 right now per million, so it's probably about 450 grand a year, roughly, 500 grand difference in bond payments per year. Just, that's real high level. I'll open up the floor for questions, comments, whatever, please. Chris, you're always prepared. It gives them a chance to digest it. Thank you. And you can, I'll allow you more than this round, okay?
First off, you talked about the escalator for the 10 years. We didn't go with that. We waited for the blended. You had the 6%. Is that what you're seeing if you looked at a 10-year in the rears or 15 years in the rears, on average, has that been on average 6%? Because you're projecting 10 years moving forward, 6% increase year over year.
Yeah, we used to be pre-COVID, probably around 2.5 to 3%. Right now, we're probably seeing a little over 8 to 9.
What have you seen in the past 3 years? It's probably 8 or 9%.
Yes.
Okay.
Per year, you're saying?
Per year.
And that's why my question is, if we look at 10 years out in the future, do we think that that'll at some point normalize again to a 3% inflationary number? Right. I know this is all speculative, but sure. Historically, if you take a look over 20 years, we've had major spikes. If you go back 40 years, we've had 14% increases, 18%, but they've come back on average to be 3%.
Which is an interesting question, which is why we kind of landed on between the 3 and 9 and 6. So that's how we landed on the 6, is kind of that rationalized, normalized number. That would be fairly conservative. We're hoping the market comes back, but I said that a year ago and it didn't.
So yeah, it did. Okay. So for that point, when we're looking at between $5 and $9 million over the course of 10 years, that could swing 3%.
Yes.
Either way, probably.
Either way.
So okay, I just want to clarify that, make sure that I'm on the same page.
Yes, sir.
Looking at the plan, so I know Aurora's doing theirs, Village Montgomery is doing a plan right now. Montgomery's plan, 74,000 square feet, at $16 million, is around $215 a square foot. So when I look at this one, the ranges that we're looking at are 320 to 344 and 330 to 350 a square foot. We're significantly higher, similar types of construction, tilt-up, precast construction. Obviously, they're under construction now, so they're 2 years ahead of us. They hit right at COVID start.
They hit at a great bidding time.
So there's a big, that's the primary difference on square footage, is they went at a earlier bidding.
Yeah.
Obviously, construction cost.
That's also their bid cost, too.
That's their bid cost. Their actual is probably going to be significantly
more. Yeah, it wouldn't include the architecture fees.
Okay.
Furniture. Yeah, that was,
so you
as far as I'm aware, that's
10%, 15% more than we're taking. Okay, I'm just trying to compare.
Well, that's a good question. We also did that, and what, you know, the advantage we have right now is we have big portions of the Aurora facility, and so I was able to use some of those square foot costs that we were seeing for today's real dollars that I plugged into here. So that's a fantastic thing. Now, have we bid all of it? No, because we are strategically timing when we're releasing things. Right now, we release the things that were important, the foundations, the steel, and the precast package because of the timeline. But we're choosing not to bid the mechanicals or any of that until January. And because we simply don't need it, and frankly, those folks that we had spoken to don't want to necessarily bid when they know the delivery's not for another year and a half. So they're inflating their numbers. So our strategy with our construction manager on that project is to strategically release bid packages in waves to right time the market. So those that are bidding have better, more competitive numbers because they can hone in exactly when those delivery dates are going to be. And so far it has worked very well.
All right. Sounds good, appreciate that. The other, looking at both plans, to me, they're not very compact. They're kind of spread out, sprawling to an extent, and some of that is necessary in order to accommodate the garage flow. Some of the other garages I've seen are dual lane, where you've got dual stack garages that are double wide. The reason I'm asking this one, going to go into this one, is compact acres are a way to reduce footprint, reduce corners, edges, to make a more simplified building. And then getting into that part of simplifying, do we have duplications of spaces with conference rooms that could be used? You know, the one, if I looked at it, it was for Parks and Rec. Is that the boardroom type of conference room that could be used at the new city hall? The meeting space for training, is that something? Are we duplicating the space that we have at the city hall, third floor for the training? So I just want to make sure that spaces that are included here, are they absolutely necessary here, or are we duplicating spaces across city facilities?
The original design that we presented to you a year ago, I would have said, yes, we probably had some duplication. I know we've worked very closely with Eric and Scott on those spaces, and there's no necessarily duplication, although we are showing a larger, we'll say, basically three levels of meeting space. We have a very small conference room, a medium, and then the multi-purpose training slash could also be a conference room. That was actually a compromise that we came up with, and the intent is that both parties will be able to use those depending on the size of the meeting that they have. In the original scheme, we actually had more meeting space than we're showing. So we have already reduced those, and we reduced the training room size down to a functional need. And we had the conversation, if there are larger needs for larger meetings, they could use some of the meeting space over at your new village hall as well. So that's how we actually came to the conclusion to reduce the actual large meeting space down as well to streamline the overall square footage. So yes, we have looked at that, and you know, staff, if you want to chime in, I know we went through it in quite good detail to really reduce the square footage depth. Now, as it relates to the design, we actually did many other designs in addition to the ones that you're seeing tonight. What we looked at initially, Chris, was to try and figure out a way, our simplest design, and I don't necessarily disagree with you on a double loaded garage, which we could certainly look at doing. But in the scheme that we have no steel columns or anything in the initial linear garage, and it's a one-span truss. We can really keep the cost down with the precast bearing on both ends. We have found that to be more cost-effective than a double side-by-side garage where we have to add the additional steel to support the beams along the center column lines. Now, it's not to say we can't do it, because I think the site could accommodate it, and it's something we could certainly look forward in more as we're going forward. But this initial pass at a very preliminary schematic design was kind of working with that plan we originally had and seeing if we could massage that and modify it enough to reduce square footage to still at least account for the vehicle story. But that's something we could certainly look at.
When you talked about the clear span in the combined plan, parks for us, is that still a clear span?
That is going to have a column in the center section, so it will be two spans to allow Scott to be able to pull his trailer mounted equipment in and not have to disconnect it every single day, which should save about, they're estimating, a good 20 minutes on either end of the beginning and the end of the day.
About $500 a year.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. If that phase expanded a little, you've almost got to be double wide in order to have double flow going through it while maintaining the double pass-through trailer.
Sure.
So that's what I'm looking at, trying to consolidate and make it efficient. Although there's going to be problems in that one, maybe that's a consideration.
Sure. I don't know that if we go that route, we would have to look at what the cost ramifications are. I know your site could likely accommodate a scheme like that. I don't know if there's going to be a tremendous cost savings going that route. When we looked at this with Aurora's plan, and we did a similar design to this at South Elgin. This linear scheme, one span, always came back to being our most cost-effective route, which is why we tried to maximize that and minimize the ones that we had against.
And the only reason I'm going down that path in trying to consolidate this is looking at the site, we have an appendage that runs east-west, and we have an appendage that runs north-south. We have a lot of space still to the southeast.
Correct.
In terms of if we ever need to expand and have different buildings, if this thing is more consolidated to a double bank, it leaves more space available to the south. It seems like right now the building doesn't afford itself for any expansion beyond the 20-year.
No, no, we can go another 30 years to the direct south.
And that's what I'm trying to accommodate. Is obviously, there's the circulation pattern in the south side for the truck turnarounds.
Yep. We can go all the way to that very easily. Yeah. And that's primarily for...
So it has been explored.
Yes.
Nature south expansion. The truck radius to see
absolutely
what we would need and then he moved it as far south as possible. I know there's a lot of land here, 12 acres. Yep. We're not maximizing it, which is great. But beyond 20 years, I want to make sure that whatever we do decide on, the building can be expanded functionally and not compromise any existing structures.
Agree 100%. Certainly, you can explore that. One of the reasons we didn't allocate building two to the group is to also understand that we have the vehicle service bay areas, which are on the back side of the building, east portion, which is behind the administrative floor. So there's going to be quite a few vehicles parked outside back there. The administrative core is basically hide all of the yard space for all Eric's layout equipment and whatnot in the back. So we try to take that into account as well with the shape of the building. But there's no reason we can't explore more square shape.
Other questions or comments? If you have more later, we'll get some others. Mr. Cope.
So, yeah, Chris, the Montgomery and other comparables, I really want to see some of that stuff, numbers and stuff to go with that. Does this include the original land purchase in this price?
No.
So that's not a one.
No, and the land purchase wasn't included a year ago either because we didn't know what property we were looking at.
Just one fire.
Good question.
I'd like to see an inventory what we currently have and what we're projecting from staff side. I mean, we would do that normally in any other type of project, and I just, so I can...
You're saying on staff side or equipment?
Well, Eric knows how many trucks he's got.
Okay.
Scott knows how many trucks he's got.
That was taken into account.
We actually did that.
We were providing...
Did you get a spreadsheet showing that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, because I need to see that.
No, there. But you're asking about equipment. That's what I'm trying to find. You're asking about the equipment.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I want to see how many trucks, trailers, things like that.
Yeah.
So I can compare and evaluate.
That's a great question.
And then, of course, then Bart mentioned the budget part. I want to see some numbers, preliminary numbers on that. So
to address two of those, Eric and Scott both provided us not only the existing equipment, list, but there were a few vehicles that were added in the last year or equipment, so we've accounted for that, as well as their current staffing. There are a few hires that were already accounted for, plus the 20% growth on the both staffing and the equipment side. So that information is all available. We'll certainly make that available to you.
Anything else, Mr. Cole?
No.
Others?
I want to see.
Chris?
Is the garage temperature controlled?
Yes. The whole building has to be temperature controlled. Now, it is not cooled. It is heated only. And we're at a preliminary stage where the type of system is, we can still figure out what we're going to do, but largely those are rooftop equipment with makeup air units that we're going to need to interconnect into the carbon monoxide detection system, which we can also put on manual. If we need to circulate air in the summer months to get fresh air into the space, which is very typical of what we've been doing in most of our whole works facilities. The entire administrative core is heating.
Other questions or comments? I don't know if Mr. Soling had any or not. I can't see him because I don't have my computer.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, sorry, it's coming in and out a little bit. I was trying to teach. So.
We feel real bad for you, Craig.
Oh, it's 85 degrees and a little dark now. The only question I had, when you're changing the shop area and say no heating, with the rooftop ventilation, is there any plan to have like some of the big fans or downdraft?
All shop areas are heated. All shop areas will be ventilated with either fans or integral fans that are part of our carbon monoxide detection system.
Okay.
We can explore whether or not we want to do air conditioning. Oftentimes we see the request for air conditioning in the fleet maintenance area. We could account for air conditioning in that area within this budget, I believe. But it would be very unusual to do anything beyond heat in the garage areas. And that's pretty much typically what we've seen and done.
Right, so I work for municipality and our newer facilities, they think we are not cool, but we do have those, they're actually called the big fans. Quite a few of those will seem to do a sufficient job of keeping that area cool. I'm not sure if it's part of the plan or not at those.
Yeah, those could certainly be integrated, and ironically, I was just talking to that company today for another project. Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chris? This Chris. Funkhauser Chris.
When you're factoring your costs, are there any LEED certifications or design considerations implemented, or would that be something that within the range?
All of our projects that we do at Kluger incorporate green design without obtaining a LEED certification. If you choose to do that, it's about a 2% increase to the overall project cost. I don't know that that's necessary here. And I will tell you that public works facilities at times are reasonably, it can be done, but I think there's so many times where the energy savings with the operational doors opening, closing, whatnot, makes that expense seem unnecessary. But we are incorporating green design into the actual project budget cost. Yes.
So the BMPs for the design that you would generally put into, we go into the design without us having to go after the fact to get the certification.
Correct. We could do that, yes.
Go ahead.
Water on site, because this is all dominated by the commercial, well, the development. There's regional detention here.
Yeah, regional detention through the planned unit development immediately west of your current property.
We haven't had any types of systems in place for salt or any other issues that we might have for equipment on site?
No more than we would. I mean, no special equipment.
Okay.
The only consideration that we'll have to explore with the public works team is if we do any soil material dry pads and the separation of materials for CCDD or clean construction debris disposal requirements that has to be tested before it can be hauled off to a landfill. But we're currently doing a design for that type of pad, transfer pad at the Carroll Screening Public Works that we're also looking at.
We don't think we'll need that. We have a local facility that has plenty of space that they tested for us. So we don't have to hold it.
I don't know if we mentioned this or not, and maybe you didn't when I stepped out. We actually closed on the property a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago. Yeah, so we actually own it. So. Other questions, comments? Mr. Cole.
Are there any grants or anything like that available on these kind of projects?
Not that I've seen recently. There used to be 10, 20 years ago. A lot of them aren't municipal building specific. It might be like a rain garden or a portion of it you might be able to get a grant for, but we review every grant email that comes out, and we're in touch with our lobbyists on programs that are nothing that I've seen so far.
All right. Other questions? Comments? So what we're going to do, as Bart said, is we're going to attempt to put in the budget the bigger of the two plans and see how that works out. And then when we have the budget discussion, we can look at it and you can give some more input on that. I think Mr. Koch, that's probably a concern of yours, which I think is a fair concern. It's a concern of mine as well. I'd like to do the bigger one if we can't afford it. But if we can't, then we've got to look at the smaller option. And I've said this to staff. I said the smaller option, while it doesn't necessarily give us the room for immediate growth that we'd like, still a lot better than what we have now. So other questions, comments? Otherwise, that's kind of the direction we're going to march in with our budget process. Anyone? Mr. Soling, anything else? I'll take that as a no.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Excellent.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one thing I probably need to state for the record is the governor has signed one of his multiple executive orders, which does allow Zoom participation, and now that we have a Zoom member, we will do Zoom participation, and everything will require a roll call vote.
Mr. Mayor, yes? Our rules actually permit that as it is for up to two people.
Really? Well, that's awesome. I guess our rules, do our rules trump the governor then? That's pretty good to know. Are you suggesting you want to go Zoom in somewhere?
I'm suggesting you may not have to do court call
today. Oh, well, we'll do it anyway. The clerk wants to make sure. Oh, you were going to be quiet, but the attorney has suggested we should do that to be safe. Okay, so we have no public hearings. Next, we have citizen comments on any item on the agenda. Again, this is for items on the agenda. We'll have a comment section at the end if you would like to comment on something not on the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to comment on anything on the agenda? Seeing none, looking for a motion, Mr. Funkhauser, and a second, Mr. Plocher.
Yes.
Thank you for the approval of the bills under the consent agenda for $1,432,732.83. Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Excellent, thank you. Now to the mayor's report. And I do have some items that are not listed. First of all, at the last meeting, I reported a local resident was just fuming about the FIFA World Cup referees. In particular, this person was upset with the Argentina game. I want to report Argentina's made the final. So this person, who many of you know, is a lot happier today. Just going to report that. Next thing, we have a couple things. I was just given this information today. Fox Valley Orthopedics will begin interior construction of 11,600 square foot space at 1500 Sycamore Road. This portion of the building has not been occupied, and the building is probably 15, 18 years old. Fox Valley Orthopedics is dedicated to the communities they serve and eager to bring this full service practice to Yorkville. The goal is to be open by June of next year. And, oh, something else. Yorkville Chipotle Mexican Grill will officially open on Wednesday, December 21st. Their hours of operation are 10:45 a.m. Remember that, 10:45 a.m. That's what it says here. To 10 p.m. 7 days a week. So for all those of you who are getting these questions, now you officially know. Now, which of you press members is going to get that out first? You better just start typing. Because of all the stuff going on tonight, that's what people care about. So, excellent. Now, that is all I have on this report that is not listed. I guess I could say Merry Christmas to everyone. So we can say that now, we can say it later. Say it multiple times. But we do have number 2022-58, a resolution approving an intergovernmental agreement between the Village of Oswego and the United States of Yorkville regarding joint employment of a facilities manager. This is for a six-month extension through next June. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Merrick and Koch. Ooh, close, Seaver, close, but Koch got there before you. And this is, I think Bart explained this either at the last meeting or via an email. This is for a six-month extension, and then each of the municipalities is going to go out and find their own full-time facilities staff member, because we just find there's so much going on that it's a needed position. Questions or comments? We'll do a roll call.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very well, thank you. Next, we have our liability insurance renewal. Is there a motion to approve the liability insurance renewal for the 2020, what is this, 3-4 fiscal year?
Calendar year 2023.
Oh, it's calendar year 2023. Okay, sorry. Is there a motion and a second to approve? Seaver?
Second.
Second by Plocher. We've got to get you in there now, Transier. Okay. This is a pretty much what the market is at right now. Unfortunately, it's about a 9.8% increase, but that's just what the market is right now. Isn't that what we were told?
Yeah. It is, yeah. They price shopped it among a competitor and came up with this renewal rate.
Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Cope?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Mr. Transier, would you like to make a motion to approve the ordinance authorizing the third amendment to the budget for the fiscal year commencing on May 1st, 2022 and ending April 30th, 2023 for a fireworks contract extension?
So moved.
Is there a second? Second by Plocher, was that?
Yes.
Okay, now, this does require 6 votes because it's a budget amendment. Any questions or comments? It's still for 4 fireworks shows, by the way.
I do have a comment. I did receive an email from a resident expressing concerns about the purchase of fireworks by the city, environmental impacts, as well as concerns he has for not only domestic but wild animals. You know, fireworks are very popular, especially at the 4th of July, but he did express some concerns, and I know I spoke with a couple of you, but I'd like to again share that with the members of this board. There are some people who fireworks celebrations in
this. Well, I appreciate the input. Other comments? Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. Paul Harvey would say, page 2. Is that what he says? Page 2? Next. Oh, we have another amendment to the budget. I'm looking for a motion to authorize a second amendment to the annual budget of the United City of Yorkville. Well, that's out of order. So is this one really the second and the previous one was the third?
We drafted it in this order.
That's what you were saying earlier. I didn't understand what you're talking about. Well, now I understand. Oh, yeah. Well, there we go. So anyway, we're authorizing the second amendment after the third one to the annual budget for Yorkville commencing May 1st, 2022, ending April 30th, 2023 for the sports uniforms contract extension.
Second.
By Transier. And what this is, we approve this because the total amount is over $25,000, but this is just, it's a per unit price and it depends on the number of participants.
It is, this is, they cover this in their VC, really, right, Tim?
Yes.
Okay, roll call. Oh, sorry, Mr. Funkhauser.
2 questions. For softball baseball, are we acquiring new equipment every year? The gear for the catchers.
Yes. For this, I'll make sure you say for the contract also.
We have so many teams.
Just throw the contract in there after you don't have a scanning contract.
May fluctuate a little bit. You may have your gear, somebody else may.
Smack me if I don't.
Just depending on how it's handed out, how much we need, how many teams we have, how it looks where it's
going.
So
I just want to make sure it's not just a blanket buying new equipment off every year. It's as you need it. And then on the shirts, I know it's specified as a poly blend. I think some of the shirts came out this year as cotton blends. Was that something that was?
Some of it was just the shipping issues.
Okay.
We just kind of had to get what we could get just to make sure everyone had stuff for their games.
Okay.
So
the intent is to be the cotton blend sports.
Yes.
Apparel bundle.
Yes. Okay.
Just an odd here. Do we perceive that being a case team?
As of right now, hopefully not.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Other questions or comments?
Only one. Chris just covered is the different material. It's the same team that are kids around.
Yes. Wanting to make sure that, you know, we are getting what we're paying for, kind of a.
Yeah, I think that stuff, and I think to your point, it's probably a challenge when players kind of swap a little bit there when we rebalance teams. So I really noticed it before. I don't know if Chris or anybody else had. It was just kind of a one-off, but I think still a valid question.
Other comments, questions? Roll call.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very nice. Next, Oh, and the next one requires six votes as well, because this is a, what do they call it, sole source bid. I'm looking for an approval of number 2022-62, a 2023 new playground purchases for three playgrounds, and it's about $177,000. Yep. $177,083. Is there a motion and a second?
Motion.
Second.
Oh, I heard Merrick over there. Maybe it's because his ear is closer than it is to Fletcher, but nonetheless. Okay. Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Fletcher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I'm looking for a motion second to approve the meeting schedule for 2023.
So
Funkhauser and Transier, discussion, roll call, please.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Next, we have an ordinance approving and accepting the acquisition of a sewer easement for the construction of a sewer line, and this is from ComEd, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'm looking for a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second. Merrick, and I think it was Plocher. Discussion, this is the final easement we need, correct?
It is.
No discussion, roll call please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very nice, thank you. And finally, under this initial mayor's report, we have a license agreement with Haven. Is it counseling? Mm-hmm. I don't know what their official name is. And this is, I'll let Bart explain this a little bit better, but let me get a motion a second, please.
So moved.
Koch and I don't know who I heard.
Plocher.
Plocher, okay. Okay, Bart, do you want to explain this, please?
Yeah, Haven Counseling is located one building to the north of 609 North Bridge Street, which is a property that we bought adjacent to our old public works facility for potential expansion or access to 47. Excuse me. Gains a vacant residential house, driveway, and a vacant garage. We are not using the building really for anything other than some storage of miscellaneous items. Haven Counseling's representative had approached us a couple weeks ago, asked us if it would be okay if from time to time they used our parking lot, or it's a driveway basically, a couple spots. We didn't have an issue with it. When they ran it back to Kathy, she had suggested that we do a simple license agreement just to cover liability and some of the indemnity provisions, so that's what we drafted there. We still do have to do a site visit with Haven Counseling's representatives to just see how they want to connect the two driveways. They made some reference to taking out some bushes. So we're going to review that at the staff level, make sure it conforms with code, obviously, see what they want to do. But it'll all be at their cost. But I wanted to get the agreement on the agenda now because we don't have another meeting here in December. Chris had asked a couple questions prior to the meeting for the record on use of parking and how it conforms with the code. We don't think that there's an issue per se with their use of our parking lot as it relates to the zoning code. And then the question he asked immediately before the meeting was, does the property itself conform with existing parking regulations? Christy was able to review it before the meeting. It does. They were required to have two spots per 1,000 square feet. We think the building's about 1,600 square feet, but she rounded that up, so they think that the max that they would be required to have is four under the code, they've got 13. So that is an issue as far as code requirements. This is just more of a convenience for them if they have overflow issues.
Other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. Public Works Committee, do everything for Public Works.
No report.
Economic Development, who was that? Is that? Okay, that's even better yet. Public Safety? Admin, I'm gonna turn this one over. This does require six votes as well. I'll let you do this.
I do have one item. I'll make a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the Board
amendment to the annual budget for the fiscal year commencing on May 1, 2022 and ending on April 30, 2023, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute and approve a contract with Tonica Minolta Business Solutions with an estimated cost for services at $135,000.
Second by Merrick. Tarullis. Okay, and Christy, you said, I think earlier today, this is expected to take about 3 to 4 months?
Yes.
And this will save the need to store a bunch of these documents at the new facility. And that was something a couple of you said, hey, let's make sure we get that in order before we get over there. So, and we do have the monies in the budget, but we just want to authorize it with a budget amendment just because it's going for this specific use. Any questions or comments?
No, that part of this was we had the savings from the reinforcements that we had budgeted for the files room. So even though it's $135,000, it's actually some of it was out of savings from other projects we didn't do. So it's already partially incorporated into that. So this is great to get our files management in order.
And you've been talking about this, well, for 3.5 years, at least to me. Along with that facility study you wanted to do. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarullis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Well, it's the holiday spirit, you know? Cranberries and all that stuff. Okay, anything else from admin?
Nothing else.
Okay, next we have park board. Anything? Ooh, okay, planning and zoning commission.
No report.
City council report?
No report.
Thank you. City clerk report?
No report.
Community and liaison reports. Mr. Soling, do you have anything you want to offer today?
The beach is beautiful.
Mr. Funkhauser, anything?
I really can't top that the beach is beautiful, but I do have one.
That's funny.
Continue with the community partnerships that were discussed earlier in the meeting. Last week, the Yorkville Police Department had their Shop with the Cops celebration. This was held over at the library. I really want to thank Sergeant Fitzmeyer, who's not here, and our chief. They put in a lot of time. A lot of our officers put in a lot of time. But last week, we were able to celebrate 19 children who, for various reasons, there's extra support or care needed, and so they were able to raise funds through our partnership. We had a partnership with Target, Restore Church, and the Kiwanis Club, which I am a member. A couple weeks ago, we actually went to Target and shopped for these 19 kids. We had over 40 volunteers show up to do the shopping, which was absolutely phenomenal. They spent $100 on every kid that was on the list. Target was great. We had a wonderful time. And like I said, last week when we had that celebration, Santa was there. There were cookies and other types of treats, but it was just fantastic to see the families, see these kids have all these presents, and just being able to watch the police department interact. There were 14 some officers that came out to work the event. It was fantastic. It's a great way to get back to the community. I'm glad to be a partner with it, and like I said, with Restore Church and Target being part of this, it was phenomenal. But the police department does an amazing job organizing and making this project happen. So
thank you. Mr. Jens, anything you want to add?
I did add, I forgot to tell Chris Rosati's. Rosati's donated pizza.
They did. They were the pizza.
For the 19 kids plus their families and all of the sponsors and all of the volunteers.
It was an awesome event. I was able to swing by for a bit. It was fun. Kids really had fun. Parents were appreciative.
One point I want to make is Chief. I watched him go above and beyond. There was one child that was there that has a very strong interest in law enforcement and the police department. And he actually went out and had one of the other officers, and two of them, bring out the vest. Well, we're best in the tactical vest. And I watched them cycle through
three, four, five different kids, trying them on, fitting them, watching sheep interact with them. It was great. You did a very nice job, and I'm very pleased you can wait to vote again. So,
thank you. Thank you, Chief. Anything else? Okay. Staff reports?
Just one item, Your Honor. After the discussion at the EDC meeting last week, we did publish the website and then the link to the Lisa Loop, which is the city clerk, the late city clerk, Lisa Pickering's like personal bike path around parts of Yorkville and a little bit of Oswego and Kendall County. The website is www.yorkville.il.us/Lisa Loop. And there's a nice GIS map with some sites along the way so that people can write it themselves. And we are working on some monuments and some signage to go up hopefully in a few months here.
Excellent. Thank you. Next, Mayor's Report. I have one other thing on here, and it has nothing to do with city business, but a friend of mine and Jim Jensen's, Keith Wilson, passed away yesterday. Is it yesterday morning or Monday? Yeah, yesterday is Monday. So I've known Keith since like fifth or sixth grade, real good friend. He stood up at my wedding, I stood up at his. But I will just say this. They asked me to be a pallbearer, which I will, but I have to go out and buy a suit. So if you want to see me in a suit and a tie, you would have to attend this service Saturday at Nelson. So anyway, I don't have a suit or a tie. So next, we have city building updates. Bart, we have a, well, let me get the motion and Bart can explain this. I'm looking for a motion in a second to approve the change orders pertaining to 651 Prairie Point Drive, 9 set of change orders for approximately $25,000.
Second.
Bart, anything you want to explain on these?
Yeah, there's four change orders within it. Two of them are just issues that we didn't think about until something went in and we saw that something on the plan was missed. It's the downspouts and then the overhead desk cabinet in community development. The ADA requirements for the thermostats was a plan issue that was missed. We don't think that architects will be reimbursing us for that because we haven't spent any money to actually do that work. So that's not new money, or that is new money for us to spend. And then the light switches, change order number 39, so first on the memo there. We are actually in discussion with our architects to see if they will reimburse us for that. We believe that we paid for that somewhere or another, that's on them, but they have to agree to that. So that'll be something after the fact. We need to get the work done. Building's moving along nicely. Second and third floors are getting buttoned up. The first floor is less far along, but probably 60, 70% somewhere in there. So they're doing a lot of finished carpentry. So hopefully these change orders are going to lessen over the next few weeks.
Questions, comments? Mr. Koch?
Is it possible to walk through?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Name it, I'll be there.
Okay, a lot of good things going into it. It's really coming along.
Other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Water study update. Bart?
Just the briefest with our budget meeting, we're starting to talk about next year's expenditures and projects. One thing that will pop up is just our Lake Michigan allocation permit. We're expecting to have to probably accelerate some water main replacement that we had planned to do, but now we have to compress it into a shorter timeline. And then additionally, we are talking about the seventh well in the city, which will be needed for backup purposes, regardless of when Lake Michigan connects. And so that'll be a new expenditure in the capital program that we talked about, but that was probably decided to contemplate it. Those will all be included in a probably a water study type update that we're going to give the public works. Hopefully this month we have a meeting, and that'll be January in advance of our budget presentation. And we're moving forward with DWC and trying to figure out some of those costs too. So that'll probably be after we do the budget. So those are going to be the big pipe costs, transmission mains, those things, the bulk of the project. Probably won't know timing of expenditures and then refine cost estimates until after we approve a budget, but it should be this summer. So.
Mr. Polk.
Just a question, follow-up from your thing from the last meeting about the Chicagoland thing, because it kind of affects us, right?
It does. So CMAP had verbally told me prior to the meeting, and I mentioned it, that they've said that they will tell the state agencies to use the 2018 population projection data, which shows us that I think 47,000 people in 2050, which is probably more reasonable than their other projection. Since then, they have communicated that to external partners, IML, state agencies, etc. And so I'm not sure whether I will actually need a letter for IDNR to take that at face value in the context of our permit application, but CMAP has said that they will do that. So for our purposes, for Lake Michigan, it should be handled in one way or another, either informally or formally, so I don't necessarily have a concern about that. We are continuing to talk to regional partners just about how CMAP is using that data. They've come a little bit more towards our direction since the last meeting and the presentation, in that they are widely telling people that there's issues with the projection, it needs to be refined, they're going to work on it, but they still are saying that they're, you know, using the data for some purposes, including strategic decision making, which is still not acceptable by them. And there's other managers and mayors that feel the same way. So we're continuing to, you know, kind of communicate those issues that are broader than just our Lake Michigan allocation, but that's a work in progress.
Other questions, comments? Okay, thank you. I have no additional business. Now we come to the highlight of the meeting, citizen comments and items not on the agenda. Anyone want to speak tonight? And as always, please state your name.
Hi, I'm Barbara from Plano. And thank you for letting me speak.
You're always welcome to.
Oh boy, thank you. You know, I can tell that Yorkville has a heart for children, and that's beautiful. But there's another factor of the recent drag discussion that very much concerns me, which I think is the snowball effect. What would be next after the public gets used to imposing oppressive drag activity upon young children? Would it be the tolerance of pedophilia, or the tolerance of sex trafficking of women and children, which is our modern version of slavery? How will you keep the city's morality from descending? Where will the permissiveness and the perversion stop? You know, you've been excited about Christmas. Christmas carols are in the air. I'll just remind you that the year 2022 is 2022 years since Jesus Christ came at the first Christmas. And a lot of the Christmas carols talk about him. One that's called O Holy Night, it has the phrase, "Chains shall he, Jesus Christ, break, for the slave is our brother, or our fellow human, and in his name all oppression shall cease." And I'd like to reiterate, it seems that Yorkville loves children, but there seems to be a disconnect when you're not protecting them from the oppression of sexual perversion in the drag queen manner. Jesus Christ has set the standard, no slavery, no oppression. Horribly, many, many children throughout all of the U.S. are right now victims of sex slavery. So again, I'm asking, what will keep pedophilia and child sex trafficking out of prominence in Yorkville once drag perversion is tolerated? Changing gears just a bit, when America's founding fathers outlined why we were breaking from the British crown, they said, "We do so appealing to the supreme judge of the universe for the rectitude of our intentions." These brilliant and world-changing men held God's assessment of their motives front and center as they went about birthing this new nation. This set the bar for high-quality governance which would follow, caring about what God thinks. I would like to leave you with some of the words to another well-known Christmas carol, Joy to the World. I think it has some good understanding for us to consider. First of all, joy. Joy to the world, but why? Because the Lord has come. Remember, the year 2022 is 2,022 years since this very significant event. The Lord came. Okay, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. That's an authority figure. He rules the world with truth and grace, and thereby proves the wonders of his love. So, Mr. Mayor and the council members, I have goodwill towards you, but I'm very seriously submitting that it behooves you to align your governmental decisions for the city of Yorkville with the truth and grace that Jesus functions in and as are presented in the Bible. And therefore, you will be aligned with his nature. He is the living, knowing, supreme judge and majestic king of the world. It is he whom we celebrate this month and to whom we will all give account one day. He is for you, but he wants your leadership to be free of unrighteousness. He created you to administer justice, not oppression, to those under your governmental care, especially children. May you rise to the occasion. For your own sake and to the betterment of this city, by the grace of God, through the power of Jesus Christ, we can. Thank you and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Any others like to speak? Again, please state your name for the record.
Mike Krupski. And John Adams, who was the first vice president of the United States of America and the second president of the United States of America, had this to say. Human passions, unbridled by morality and religion, would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Our ordinances are good, and no matter how good they are, they will not ensure freedom and prosperity in the city unless they are supported by an upright council. Yorkville Municipal Code, Liquor Control 3312E2A. It shall be unlawful for any person while acting as an entertainer to expose his or her product. Yorkville Municipal Code Liquor Control 3312E2C. The following kinds of conduct are prohibited. The actual or simulated touching, caressing, or fondling of breast, buttocks, anus, or genitals. Yorkville Municipal Code Adult Business 311-1A2. A public or private establishment that for any form of consideration or gratuity provides figure models who display buttocks must be zoned and licensed for adult entertainment. Yorkville Municipal Code Adult Entertainment 33111. Adult entertainment category, a public or private establishment which is licensed to serve food and or alcohol beverages to topless dancers and or waitresses, strippers, male or female impersonators for similar entertainment. We are asking again the mayor and city council to follow. Equally apply published Yorkville ordinances with respect to adult entertainment that is currently being allowed. Clarify the false impression and confusion surrounding the ordinance violations to the businesses and to the general public. Correct the miscommunication to the ILCC regarding the violations at the June 11, 2022 South Bank Regional Barbecue Show. We ask again that you bring this to the agenda so we go to the committee so we can discuss how we're going to mitigate these secondary effects for the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing fantastic. I was ready to go to executive session. I apologize.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my name is Justin Harrison. I'm a resident here in Yorkville. I'm coming to talk about Molly and her group and what they brought to our city. First of all, the first woman linking pedophilia to drag shows in the LGBTQ community is gross and hugely unfactual. That's misinformation that is totally being spread. This type of religious rhetoric is what brings hate to communities. The most recent reflection of this was the mass shooting in Colorado a few weeks ago. If we open up to all of these religious things and what everybody's views are different. Government is not about religion. That's just how it's supposed to be. Everybody should be able to have different religious views and different views on how they view how people should be able to have their lifestyles. This group is using intimidation to try and strong arm people in our community, our mayor, city council members, children. We had a child here last meeting who wouldn't even show his face or give his name because they were worried about being on camera and being put on YouTube. And it's just sad that our own children are being made to feel this way. I feel like we don't want to be known as a small town with small views. We want to be looked at as a small town with big views. We are moving forward. This is 2022, almost 2023. These narrow-minded views are not welcome in our town. The majority of people, everywhere you look, do not agree with these same views. And just because they want to show up to every meeting and try and threaten everybody and think that their voice is the only one that is the voice of Yorkville, it is not. So. I couldn't get many people here today with it being as close to the holidays, but we'll have lots more showing up after the meeting to help support, because that's not our view.
Thank you for time. Anyone else? Now we'll go to motion for executive session for litigation when an act against affecting on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending, or when the public body finds an action is probable or imminent. In which case, the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I heard Plocher and Merrick, and this does require Mr. Funkhauser roll call vote.
Transier.
Yes.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Yes.
Koch.
Aye.
Plocher.
Yes.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Tarulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much. And for everyone here, have a Merry Christmas. And I appreciate y'all wearing red out there, same as us, for the holidays. Yeah. Second, all in favor, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Motion adjourned. Thank you all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.